Mr. President, Madam First Lady, Secretary Gates, distinguished visitors, good morning and welcome. I offer a special welcome to the loved ones of those who died or were injured in the attack on the Pentagon, September 11, 2001. We are here to reflect and remember, but who among us can ever forget where we were, what we saw, how we felt as citizens and as a nation. I myself remember the shudder and the smoke, the shipmates I lost, and how the whole world changed that day. As Americans, we share a common sorrow for the 184 lives that ended here, and for all those who perished in New York and Somerset County, Pennsylvania. Some young, some not so young, all of them taken from us, stolen from us, right before our eyes, and well before their time. Our grief is real and it is warranted. But if I may, let me ask and let me urge that we look upon this day not only with sorrow, but also with hope for the future that those we honor wanted us to have, and gratitude for the life they wanted us to live. Let us face that future with the same resolve our men and women in uniform exhibit, the same courage with which they serve and struggle to ensure another day like that day never happens again. America has sent her armed forces forward with that task. In harm's way, you have deployed them, and in harm's way, they stand for you and for each other. Many of them, more than 1 million, have enlisted after 9/11, because of 9/11. They volunteered to defend their country, to fight for something bigger than themselves. And from Afghanistan to Iraq and 1,000 other places, they are doing just that and doing it magnificently. They are supported by extraordinary families who work and worry and wait and who serve every bit as much. All of them know the stakes. All of them know that the people behind the 9/11 attacks are planning and plotting others, that Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies would like nothing better than to strike us again. 8 years of war has changed our troops and their families, but it has not bested them. Indeed, it is difficult to describe the selflessness I see when I visit them in the field and in the fleet, in hospitals, and here at home. So rather than reach for words I do not possess, I will turn to those of the poet William Ernest Henley, which I believe speak best for what they believe about the meaning of this day. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, the men and women of your military stand before you, mournful of our loss, respectful of our duty, but absolutely unafraid of the task before them and of the menace of these years. Please join me now in a moment of silence and reflection.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Secretary of Defense, the Honorable Robert Gates.
Mr. President, Madam First Lady, distinguished visitors, and above all, family and friends, good morning and thank you for being here today. On September 11th, 2001, the Pentagon, the World Trade Center, and a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, absorbed the first foreign-based major attacks on the continental United States since the War of 1812. David Lloyd George, former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, speaking during the opening months of World War I, said, "The stern hand of fate has scourged us to an elevation where we can see the everlasting things that matter for a nation, the great peaks we had forgotten of honor, duty, patriotism, and clad in glittering white, the towering pinnacle of sacrifice pointing like a rugged finger to the heavens. Today we honor the dead and to speak to the survivors and loved ones whose lives are irrevocably changed on that terrible day 8 years ago. Words are inadequate to remove the pain of that loss. In the lives of these patriots, we can find some solace. Because they lived, and because of the great pinnacle of their sacrifice, and because of the sacrifice of thousands more since that day, we remain a strong and free nation. Those who fell are commemorated here, and they are represented by the men and women you see around you acting as docents for this memorial. The docent program that begins today is being run by Lisa Dolan, who lost her husband, Navy Captain Robert Dolan, on 9/11. She and other 9/11 family members have added something poignant and profound to this program. We are grateful and honored on this day that the President and the First Lady, who has made the welfare of military families her personal priority, are here to help us commemorate this anniversary. And so it is my great pleasure to introduce our Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States.
Secretary Gates, Admiral Mullen, and members of the Armed Forces, fellow Americans, family and friends of those that we lost this day. Michelle and I are deeply humbled to be with you. 8 Septembers have come and gone. Nearly 3,000 days have passed, almost one for each of those taken from us. But no turning of the seasons can diminish the pain and the loss of that day. No passage of time and no dark skies can ever dull the meaning of this moment. So on this solemn day, at this sacred hour, once more we pause. Once more we pray. As a nation and as a people, in city streets where our two towers were turned to ashes and dust, in a quiet field where a plane fell from the sky, and here, where a single stone of this building is still blackened by the fires. We remember with reverence the lives we lost. We read their names. We press their photos to our hearts. And on this day that marks their death, we recall the beauty and meaning of their lives. Men and women and children of every color and every creed, from across our nation and from more than 100 others. They were innocent, harming no one. They went about their daily lives. Gone in a terrible instant, they now dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We honor all those who gave their lives so that others might live, and all the survivors who battled burns and wounds and helped each other rebuild their lives. Men and women who gave life to that most simple of rules. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. We pay tribute to the service of a new generation, young Americans raised in a time of peace and plenty, who saw their nation in its hour of need and said, "I choose to serve. I will do my part." And once more we grieve. For you and your families, no words can ease the ache of your heart. No deeds can fill the empty places in your homes. But on this day and all that follow, you may find solace in the memory of those you loved, and know that you have the unending support of the American people. Scripture teaches us a hard truth. The mountains may fall and the earth may give way, the flesh and the heart may fail, but after all our suffering, God and grace will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So it is, so it has been for these families, so it must be for our nation. Let us renew our resolve against those who perpetrated this barbaric act and who plot against us still. In defense of our nation, we will never waver. In pursuit of Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies, we will never falter. Let us renew our commitment to all those who serve in our defense, our courageous men and women in uniform and their families, and all those who protect us here at home. Mindful that the work of protecting America is never finished, we will do everything in our power to keep America safe. Let us renew the true spirit of that day, not the human capacity for evil, but the human capacity for good, not the desire to destroy, but the impulse to save and to serve and to build. On this first National Day of Service and Remembrance, we can summon once more that ordinary goodness of America to serve our communities, to strengthen our country, and to better our world. Most of all, on a day when others sought to sap our confidence, let us renew our common purpose. Let us remember how we came together as one nation, as one people, as Americans, united not only in our grief, but in our resolve to stand with one another, to stand up for the country we all love. This may be the greatest lesson of this day, the strongest rebuke to those who attacked us, the highest tribute to those taken from us, that such sense of purpose need not be a fleeting moment. It can be a lasting virtue. For through their own lives and through you, the loved ones that they left behind, the men and women who lost their lives 8 years ago today leave a legacy that still shines brightly in the darkness, and it calls on all of us to be strong and firm and united. That is our calling today and in all the Septembers still to come. May God bless you and comfort you. And may God bless the United States of America.
At this time, President Obama will pay his At this time, President Obama will pay special tribute to the 184 lives lost at the Pentagon and on American Airlines Flight 77 on September 11, 2001, by placing a wreath at the zero age line of the Pentagon Memorial.